We've been dealing with a series titled The Bible Fires. Boy, how many fires blazed in our Bible. God knows how to set a fire. Sure way I'm glad when I can set around them. I appreciate the good service this last Thursday night. How God warmed our hearts, challenged us, and helped us. We live in a cold, cold, dark world. And it's getting colder and darker by the minute. You say, well, preacher, it's supposed to be about 14, 15 in the morning. Well, it's really a lot colder than that.
Right. Amen.
Matter of fact, it's cold in July.
Right.
Never seen so many cold places and cold people. We've been dealing with that thought of the Bible fires. We'd look back in the book of Exodus at that burning bush. We've seen the witness of fire. And we've seen in the book of Jeremiah, God set the word on fire. Then in Samuel, we've seen the work of fire. Book of Leviticus, we've seen watching the fire. He said on the fire on the altar, never let it go out, said watch the fire. And then Leviticus 10, they offered strange fire. We dealt that as wildfire. A lot of wildfire going on in our churches. And then 2 Peter chapter 3, we dealt with the wrath of fire. God's going to burn this thing up. Don't get too attached to things because they're going to burn up one of these mornings. But now in Daniel chapter number 3, I'm interested this morning in this thought, walking in the fire. Walking in the fire. You'll notice in your Christian life, you'll find yourself walking more in the fire than you do out of the fire if you're really, really, really living what you're preaching. This morning, the book of Daniel, chapter number 3, it's an old familiar story. The Bible said, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, he made an image of gold whose height was 70 cubits. The breadth thereof 6 cubits, he set up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, governors, captains, and judges, and treasurers, counselors, and the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which the king had set up. And the princes and governors and the captains and judges and treasurers and counselors and sheriffs and all the rulers, they was gathered to the dedication of the image that the king set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set. Verse 4, a herald cried aloud, "To you it's commanded, O people, nations, and languages." What kind you hear the sound of all these instruments? They want you to fall down and worship the golden image that the king set up. And whosoever falls not down and worships shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time when all the people heard the sound of the music and the instruments, they fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. In my thought this morning and walking in the fire, I want you to notice first of all the heathens of the fire. The heathens of the fire. You'll notice, first of all, they was heathens because of their meeting. They was worshiping an idol. A lot of folks worshiping idols this morning. Worshiping buildings, worshiping preachers, worshiping denominations. Why, I know some folks, if you throw a shot at a Baptist, why, they about ready to shoot you. But I want to tell you, there's a lot of heathenistic Baptists. Amen. Now, matter of fact, the majority of the Baptists are heathen. I am a Baptist from the top of my bald head to the bottom of my feet. But I've done gone too far to turn back now. Amen. Just because you walk into McDonald's don't mean that you're a Big Mac. Amen. There's a lot of folks are Baptists, but they don't mean nothing this morning. And so we see here the heathens and their meeting. And then secondly, you see the heathens and the members. They had all the big shots on the scene.
Yeah.
They had to be Baptists because they see they invited the sheriff before the meeting started. And the reason most Baptists can't go no place is they spend more time fussing and fighting than they do worshiping the God of glory. So they said, now this is Fifth Sunday Night Conference with us. Go ahead and invite the sheriff on the scene because we know it's going to be great confusion. And most conferences I've ever seen that it's all been filled with confusion. So we see the heathen in their meeting, the heathen in their members. Y'all not talk like that. It don't impress me, folks drive a nice car. And it don't impress God because folks wear nice clothes. And it don't impress God because folks hold nice positions. Just because folks hold a nice position don't mean they ought to be a deacon in the Baptist church. I'd rather take a man that wears overalls and brogan shoes and plowing a new for a living and filled with the Holy Ghost than a man that's been successful filled with the devil in business. So the heathen, a lot of heathen, heathens and their members and the heathens and their meeting, but the heathens and their music. Bible said, and I didn't say this, the Bible said, all kinds of music. Boy, that's going on, isn't it? Just all kinds. In verse 7, look there, underline like that in your Bible. You can't throw a rock at me at that. The Holy Ghost said that, all kinds of music. Heathens and the music. Let me tell you something. Just because somebody's beating a lid with a big spoon don't mean that it's real music. And I'm confused with churches now that have two separate programs. One, they call it a contemporary. And then they got one called the gospel. Well, sound like to me there's more confusion going on than worship. I think y'all to draw a line in the sand and let you know. Now, I didn't get in a car this morning that had Chevrolet and Ford both rode on it. Amen. Yeah, I mean, I think y'all to know what side you're on. Amen. Either a pig or a possum. Most folks don't know if they're a pig or a possum. And so they just have two different services. Just come where you are. Just come on in. Our precious little world, we just glad you're there. Oh, yeah. Just bring your heathenistic ways on in. And so it don't matter as long as you give. It don't matter what you do, where you work, how you behave, what you wear. Don't matter. We just glad to have your money. But oh, I'm going to tell you why the heathens. But then secondly, I want you to see the Hebrews. The Bible said in verse number 8, wherefore that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake, said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of all these instruments fall down and worship the golden image. Whoso falleth not down and worship, he should be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews, and thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I want to say, first of all, about the Hebrews, they were named. I want to tell you, there's two different crowds that know your name. The devil's crowd knows your name, and God's crowd knows your name. So we see here the Hebrews, the Hebrew boys, they were named. Aren't you glad you got a good name about you this morning? The Bible says a good name is better than a report. I want to have a good name. Amen. When I lie down in a coffin, I don't want to walk up to me and say, he was a crook. I don't want Brother John, some preacher, stand up over me and have to lie and sort of make my family feel good. Matter of fact, most preachers preach good, so they don't lie, then they make somebody mad. So, the Hebrews, they were named. And in verse 12, they were numbered. I'm glad I'm in that number. It said, they certain Jews. Oh, yeah, they were named and numbered. And then in verse 12, they were noted. The Bible says, these men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not your God, nor worship the golden image which you set up. Oh, they were not only numbered, but they were noticed. They did not regard the things of the world. That's what we need to be this morning. We need to be noticed. We just don't run with every dog that comes along. You lay with dogs, you're going to get the fleas. So you'll find they were noticed. They stood out like a sore thumb. They was like a fish that's flopped out on the bank. Somebody took note. I wonder this morning in your Christian walk of life, are you noticed? There's people that you come in contact with, about the best thing I know them to say about you is you're a holy roller. Or you're square, you're an oddball, you don't have no fun. Lord, I've just started living. I've had so much fun, I've done kicked the back out of my choir robe this morning. Oh, yeah, they were noticed. They said, we're not going to serve you gods nor worship the golden image which you've set up. They were noticed. I could have seen old Shadrach. He was the leader. He was the Peter of the crowd, so to speak. He was the domineering force. He was the one always taking charge. There's old Shadrach. No doubt old Meshach and Abednego come down in his room and said, hey, Shadrach, you going to the meeting? He said, I ain't going to their meeting. Well, Abednego, now, what about you? I notice you starting to sort of bow a little bit. You be careful. He said, Shadrach, I'm with you. I ain't going to the meeting either. And so we see that these boys were very needful. And if there's ever been a day and an hour, if we're going to make a difference in the day that we live, we need to go against the flow. Excuse me, Brother John. But I'm going to tell you, you can't be a walking in this world the way the world is walking. Then they were noticed, they were needful. Verse 13, notice what happened. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake, said to them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not you serve my God, nor worship the golden image which I set up? It was needful. They got the old king's attention. You know what's going to lead people to Christ? You being different. Amen. You know, I've noticed that every church that God has ever used is different. And this morning, we live in an hour that we need to stand up, that people would take notice, because it's needful. What are you saying? God uses that. He got this king's attention. Verse 16, you'll notice they were very noble. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve, he's able to deliver us from the burning fire furnace. He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They were noble. I tell you what they were. They were Christians when nobody else was looking. They were Christians when people was looking. We see not only the heathens, but the Hebrews. Then, the meat of the message, and we'll get right on into it this morning. Stand in verse number 19. You'll see the heathens, the Hebrews, but now the heath. Things got hot. The Bible said, verse 19, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. The form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. The heat. First of all, you'll notice in verse 19, the temperature of the fire. The temperature of the fire, the Bible said, seven times much more than it was wont to be. One of the commentators said that when they opened the doors of this oven, that it blew some 80 feet above the door of the oven. I mean, it was roaring fire. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the temperature of the fire. 7 times more than regular. He was mad. Let me tell you what has happened. No king has won a battle. Nebuchadnezzar, he took a lot of captives back into the land. He said, I better get everybody on the same page. We're going to have a dedication day. So I want everybody to serve this big 90-foot idol I've made. So everybody's going to be on my team if they're going to be on my team. So now the three Hebrew boys, they went against the grain. He's mad. He's got to make a lasting impression over all of his prophets. He said, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do with you. He said, if y'all ever decide not to go my way and not bow to my things, I'm going to heat this oven up 7 times. I want everybody to gather around. I want you to watch what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw these Bible thumpers in the oven. He said, you know, every time I turn around, they tote the Bible. He said, every time that I try to come up with something, they always giving God the credit. Said they ain't bowed down to me. Said they didn't even make my meeting. I'm mad. I'm gonna show y'all what I can do. Crank it up, get it off one, turn it to 7. And it's a blazing. Isn't it amazing? Number 7 is perfection. God knows exactly the right temperature that me and you need. Exactly the right temperature that me and you need. Now notice about this heat, the temperature. But then secondly, not only the temperature of fire, but the trial of fire. Verse 20, he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them in the burning fiery furnace. Now, the trial of fire. He picked his most mighty men. I wonder if God's ever tried you in the fire. Now, I don't see any place here where they went to running off and they went to kicking and a begging and a pleading the way I might would have had. But I see here that Nebuchadnezzar brought the best men that he had and he tied them up. He cranked the heat up, the trial of fire. Job says something about all this. Job chapter 23, you can say for y'all, I'll read this verse 14. The Bible says, for he performeth a thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. A lot of times folks think, well, the devil's put this in my life. He may have. But yet God has allowed him to put it in your life. Have you ever wondered at times, I'm talking about the trial of fire, have you ever wondered and said, now Lord, why in the world am I not being patted on the back for doing right? If there's anybody that could have had something to say to God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego probably could have said, now, Lord, we've stood by the step. We've done what you told me to do. Now I find myself being tied up, be fixing a cast in the oven. Lord, what's wrong with this picture? I'm sure none of you would have never said that. I tell you what I'd done. I said, Lord, surely not. Lord, do I really have to go in there? Maybe some of y'all just love that furnace. I don't like it. It gets hot. But you'll notice that the trial of that fire, God sends fire in our lives that He may try. Oh yeah, the trial of fire. And then you'll notice in verse 22, the tempering of fire. The Bible said, therefore, because the king's command was urgent, the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the tempering of the fire. Look what Job says, chapter 23 and verse 10. He said, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the world couldn't stand the oven. They burn up. You know why a lot of people get out of church when the trial of the fire comes? They ain't got what it takes. Amen. You know why some folks start preaching? Mama called, Daddy sent. Fire gets hot. They say, that preaching ain't all I thought it was. Amen. You know why folks ain't singing, ain't playing, ain't doing the things that folks thought they were called to do? They ain't got inside what the Hebrews had. God. You see, God's going to allow you to go in the fire to see if you're who you say you are. The world couldn't handle it. The world thinks you're crazy coming out to Sunday school and it's 14 degrees. Why, Super Bowl night, they think you're crazy. You'd come to the house of God and hear Bible preaching. What are you talking about? They can't take the heat. Can't take the heat. You see, the Hebrew boys that were filled with God, the heat really didn't bring them no problem. But the world couldn't take it. You know why some folks can stand in a funeral home, lost a loved one, raise their hands to glory and smile, say, "Thank you, Lord"? They got something on the inside this world knows nothing about. Now I want you to see that the king's choicest men couldn't take what the little old Hebrew boys could take. They couldn't take it. You know why a lot of folks are never promoted in God's kingdom? Because they couldn't take it. That's right. You know yourself, you've met people that say, "Well, they come down, they cried their crocodile tears in an altar, and they got up and they joined your church. And then Sunday night, FBI couldn't find none of them. Boy, they just, poof. Here today, gone tomorrow. What's happened? They ain't got what it takes to stand the heat." A little next door neighbor told my wife, or told his mother to come back to me and my wife, said, "We want to be like our neighbor," what the little boy said. And his mom said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I want to be a preacher." "Why is that?" "Well, the preacher's got a boat and a nice car. I want to be a preacher." "Well, that's why I guess I met the fella 3 Saturdays ago," and he said, "I used to be a preacher." See, God's going to try you by the fire. See, if you're who you say you are, oh, He knows. But He's going to prove it to you and He's going to prove it to everybody else. They ain't got what they said they had. So we see here the tempering of the fire. Job said, "I tell you what, I really don't understand everything, but when I come out of his fire, I'm going to come forth as gold." You know what fire does? It burns off awful things, the dross, the things, the impurity. The fire will always bring it out, the tempering of the fire. Then, verse 23, notice this. "These 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace," the trust in the fire. Man, when you start walking through the fire, who are you trusting? The trust in fire. You know what? I don't see no place where there was a kicking and a running. Look what they did. They bowed down to the fire. I tell you, the best thing when them fire trials come is if you just bow down to the fire and say, "Lord, it's here for a reason. Lord, I really don't understand it, but I am submit to your authority. Because, dear God, you can see the end when I can't see it. And Lord, you know what I need. God, this fire is burning things up in my life. I don't like it. It's uncomfortable. But I know when I come forth, I shall be as gold." They bowed the trust in the fire. Now, I'm going to tell you what, you're going to learn this. Walking through the fire, you're going to learn there can only be one you can trust. I don't care if your best friend, your best bud, you're going to find out that you can't trust nobody with this flesh that's on them. I would venture to say, now, y'all, don't y'all go to sleep on me this morning. I'm not running shouting, I'm just trying to teach you something. Now listen to me. Some of the best men I've ever been associated with is sitting in this building this morning. But we're all human. Down the road, I may hurt Brother Mike's feeling. Me and him may have such a falling out, and I call, and he just may hang up on me. That's the truth. I could do it. I could go over and shoot his dog. What I'm saying is this, he's human. Brother Andrew, you're human.
And the friends today that we think will be with us tomorrow may not be there tomorrow. I hope you are.
Phase one, you can trust.
They trust in the fire. And some of you preachers, you're going to notice this. You can't trust.
Even your pastor. I may be busy. I may be dead and gone. But I tell you, there's only one you can trust. That's the Lord Jesus. Their trust in the fire.
Now, I tell you what, God's going to teach you that when you're walking through the fire. Lord, I can't trust nothing, nobody
but you.
Their trust in the fire. I'm talking about walking in the fire. Trust in the fire. Then verse 24, 25, their testimony in the fire. Well, this is where it's really important. Verse 24, 25, then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished. He rose up in haste, spake, said to his council, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, oh, true. He answered, said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt. The form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Now listen, I believe this story as much as I do Jonah and the whale. Can you imagine? But that's us. Can y'all imagine? They opened up the mouth of that thing and flames shot up 50 foot in the air, and all of his wise men were standing there saying, these Bible thumpers are history. They're out here. We ain't got to worry about them no more. Pull out the big screen, Super Bowl night. And all of a sudden he takes him. All the king's men just, whoosh, they burn up. Mary Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The Bible said they was loose. Walking. There's something else got the king's attention. Testimony in the fire. There's somebody else in there with them. Him say, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Come on in, boys. It's pretty good in here. Hallelujah. Pretty warm and toasty. Feeling pretty good. I'm losing some things to walk around here. I'm starting to get loose. Why he's saying that testimony in the fire. Lord, I'd probably be like you. Hey, go, 911, bless God, I'm burning up, call the fire. Not the Hebrew voice. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. What do you say? Their testimony. I bet they said, hallelujah to Jesus when he looked in. Could you imagine? Now this really happened, this ain't no fairy tale. This happened. They was loose and walking in the fire. I tell you something else I've noticed about this testimony of fire. For some things that really bind us and hold us down, when we really get to walking in the fire, you'll see they're not real important no more. You watch this. You watch members get to bickering and dickering. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, yeah. I don't like the color chandeliers. I don't like the color seats. I don't like the color carpet. But you let the fire come. It don't matter about none of that no more. It's a burning stuff off of it. A lot of Baptists are so tied up they can't walk with God. Boy, I'm telling you, when you get to walking in the fire with God, you can walk. Now I'm going to tell you something. I want you to notice the testimony of the fire. It got the king's attention. He said, now, something about them that I've never seen before. Everybody else we've ever throwed in that. This wasn't the first lads he throwed in that thing. That's the way he dealt with folks. Boy, I tell you what, though, it's most important the way we act, the way we walk in the fire. They just kept walking. You see that? They didn't lay down and quit. Brother Mike was talking this morning, throw the towel in, said, Lord, we'll never sing another song. Lord, we'll never preach another sermon. We'll never teach another Sunday school. They were just walking in the fire. What are you saying, preacher? I'm talking about the testimony of the fire. How's your testimony as you go through the fire? And be careful you don't throw rocks because you're going to be going through it for long. You in three stages this morning. You going in it? You in it?
or you come out.
Often wondered, man, Tony said, now, when you get saved, all your problems are over.
But this, I'm glad He sent me some fire. I tell you what I've learned about fire. Everybody knows how to handle a bear till they get a hold of it.
I know what I'd do. My kids did that. I know what I'd do. My wife did that. I know what I'd do.
Oh, really? Is that a fact? Walking in the fire. Oh, it is of utmost importance how we walk in the fire. They walked with closeness. They had Jesus. Well, He loves to walk with you when you really get in the fire. Ain't you glad you ain't got a God to sit out on the bank, throw you in the middle of the river and say, let's sink or swim? I'd have been sunk a long time ago.
Testimony in the fire! Poor folks that are watching, how you react into the fire of Christ!
Testimony. They would not bow. They would not bend. They would not burn. Their testimony in the fire. Well, my heart bleeds when families of our church is in that fire. Heart just bleeds. But I know this, all things work together for good to them that love God. Boy, I hate it when fire comes to my house. I tell you what, last night I had the most terrible dream. Before I was in the fire, walking in the fire. It was awful. I woke up and said, thank you, Jesus. It was a dream. You ever did that? But sometimes, you're not going to be able to wake up out of it. Matter of fact, sometimes when you wake up, you're going to say, oh no, I've woke up. I've been there on both spectrums. Lord, I've woke up and it's not a dream. It's reality. But I want to close with this morning. Not only the Hebrews and the heat, but the help. The help. I'm glad we're not alone. First, I want you to see the faithfulness in the fire. You know, the devil's absolutely opposite of the Lord. The devil will get you on his team. And then when he runs and puts you in the fire, he runs. But not God. He's faithful. He said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk with you in the fire. He said, when you pass through the rivers, you're not going to go under. When you pass through the fire, you shall not be burned. Isaiah chapter 43. The help, faithfulness in the fire. Secondly, the fellowship in the fire. You'll never have that communion with God till you walk through the fire. And He proves to you He's who He said He was. You know, it's really a blessing when storms come, when fires come. We're walking through it. We can't see light out the end of it. But one thing about it, He's right by us. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Aren't you glad you can have a God that's alive, not a God that's dead? A God that's real. A God that'll come by and hold your hand. God will come by and encourage you in the truck that's all by yourself. All of a sudden, He'll just break in on you and you start shouting. You meet folks in the road and they'll say, He is great. Fellowship. Then freedom in the fire. Freedom. Lord, that was loose just enjoying the sin. You know what you ought to do? When the fire comes, you ought to try your best just to worship and walk with God and realize there's even freedom in the fire. You can worship. You can raise your hands toward glory. You can say, thank you, Lord, for where I've been, where I am, and where I'm headed. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you, Lord, for what you didn't do, what you should have done. We ought all been in hell this morning with our back broke. But thank you, Lord. And notice this. I close. Verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace. He just couldn't believe his eyes. He said, I've got to look in there. And he spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. He said, I've got to take a closer look at this. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. I close this thought.
There's a song, "Where'd the fourth man go?" He's still in the fire. See, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is the only three that came out. The old king said, "Lo, I see four loose walking in the midst of the fire." Where's the Lord? He's just waiting on you. When you step in there, there he's going to be right by your side. He's not come out. He's not in a box. He's sitting there in your trouble this morning. Whatever you're walking through. And I'm going to tell you what, your children could be your fire. Oh, that's right. Wait till you start raising them. Your children could be your fire. Fire. Your job could be your fire. Your health. Your relationships. What are you saying, preacher? Let me share. I'm saying they's help in the fire this morning. I'm glad there's somebody that's waiting on me. I know right now, today, in my life, I may not be walking in as hot of a place as I've been, but I know it's one out there ahead of me. And this is why I love the Lord so much. I know He's going to be there. He's proved Himself. He's never come out. Maybe you're there this morning. How's your testimony? How's your trust? Are you really hanging on to the Lord? Are you just grabbing at everything? I tell you what you ought to do this morning. You ought to reach down inside and say, "Lord, I know you're there. I know you're going to help me.